This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wahdah wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah ma ba'd. I do apologize, I'm a little bit jet lagged. I just came back from an 8-country tour and I have to go another country in a few days, inshallah ta'ala. I also want to confess, I don't have a prepared lecture. I'm going to speak from the heart. Sometimes they're the best, sometimes they're the worst. I want to go back when the title was handed to me on a personal note. When I first started practicing Islam academically, when I was first introduced to the study of Islam, I was probably 16 years old, 17 years old. This is back in the 90s. And the people that I was around, they taught me that what I need to be concerned about was following the specifics of the Sunnah as they understood it. And so for a while, I became very interested in what is the Sunnah way to pray, what is the Sunnah way to fast, and you know, we would study a lot about the specific ahadith and the specific methodology within the various legal schools. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me to go study with ulama overseas. And the more I studied mainstream fiqh and the schools of Islamic law, the more I realized that all of these mainstream schools are actually following the Sunnah. There's no competition between them. And really, as long as you're following any of the schools, alhamdulillah, that's basically following the Sunnah. So I moved on to another phase of my life because I realized all of these schools are prophetic. There's no competition between them. So for the next phase, I became interested in advanced theology. I did a master's in theology, a PhD in theology. I still love theology. I love to teach advanced classes. If you listen to some of my library chats, this is my intellectual passion. But the more I studied these abstract concepts, the more I began to realize that the average Muslim doesn't really need to be bogged down by third century polemics between the various groups of Baghdad. It's not iman building to study what happened 1,000 years ago and the controversies of various schisms and sects that no longer exist. Frankly, basic iman is raw love of Allah. Basic iman is you want to follow the Sunnah. Basic iman is you believe in the hereafter, and that's really good enough. Studying these controversies of 1,000 years ago, it's interesting for my mind, but it doesn't increase my spiritual love of Allah and His Messenger. So that too, I realized, is not something I need to be obsessed about when I teach the people. So then I turned to the seerah. This was like 15, 20 years ago. And that's when I realized the average Muslim doesn't really need advanced Islamic law. They don't need the details of the controversies of Islamic theology. The entirety of the seerah is just how to live an ethical life by treating people with dignity and love and respect. The beginning to the end of the seerah, the entirety of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't obsess with the minutiae of law. He didn't care about these abstract issues of theology, which only developed in the 3rd, 4th, 5th centuries. In fact, the basics of Islam, salvational Islam, you just master your rituals. Of course, you have to pray, you have to, you know, do the fast, you have to give zakah. And the rest of Islam, all of it, has to do with how you treat people, how ethical you are, how moral you are, how upright you are. And the more I studied the seerah, the more I realized that I had it wrong for decades of my life. What we need to emphasize to the people, what we need to teach to the people, is the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is salvational. This is what's going to make people better. This is what's going to draw the world to Islam. In fact, what is the seerah, especially the beginning 40 years, which when I was growing up, we just overlooked it. For me, like the seerah began with Iqra, but Iqra happened when the Prophet was 40. For 23 years of his life, he was preaching Risala. How about the first 40 years? When you study the seerah, the first 40 years laid the foundations for the next 23. Those 40 years, zero theology, zero law. Are they not important? They are essential. Why are they essential? Because those 40 years laid the foundation for the next 20. Those 40 were the foundational premises. They gave the social credibility that the Prophet ﷺ needed for the next 20 years. What did he do in those 40 years? We know, we all know the story. As soon as he comes back from Iqra. As soon as Jibreel hugged him, and he was wondering what is going on, and he rushes back, Zammiluni, Dathiruni. Our mother Khadija radiallahu anha summarized his entire 40 years in that beautiful paragraph preserved in the Sira literature. Wallahi, my dear husband, Ya Rasulallah, Wallahi, whatever happened to you, Allah is not going to misguide you. You're too good to be misguided. Whatever happened, لا يخزيك الله أبدا. You shall never be humiliated. Why? Number one, you're good to your family. Number two, you feed the hungry. Number three, you take care of the orphan. Number four, the wayfarer that comes through, you make sure they're taken care of. And then number five, miscellaneous. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. Every good deed that can be done, you're at the forefront of that good deed. The first 40 years of the Prophet's life was nothing but pure, raw akhlaq. That's all it was. Zero theology, zero fiqh, zero law, because there's nothing at this stage. There is no risala at this stage. But those 40 years, you need to show the people what it means to be a good human being. Then you open your mouth about theology. Then you bring in how to worship. Then you bring in what to believe. If your own manners betray who you are, then of what use is theology? Of what use is Islamic fiqh? When you can't even live an ethical and pure life, well then, what is the purpose of going beyond this? And therefore, when I started studying the seerah and teaching the seerah, everything becomes reoriented. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to praise our Prophet in the Quran, when he wanted to reveal what makes him special, what did Allah say? وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Four words. He didn't praise anything other than the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ. What makes him who he is? وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You, Ya Rasulallah, لَعَلَىٰ. Notice the proposition, the preposition that is used. عَلَىٰ, to indicate ulu. Because you could say, فِيكَ خِصَال, within you are characteristics. That's valid, you could say that. But akhlaq raises you up. Akhlaq makes you high. Akhlaq ennobles you. Literally, لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Your akhlaq have caused you to be raised up. Your akhlaq are what makes you have that ulu. You have the noble characteristics that makes you who you are. So dear brothers and sisters, very simple. Once you've done your basics of knowing how to pray, knowing who is Allah, believing in the Day of Judgment, the rest of the entirety of what decides your fate, what decides your akhirah, it is your akhlaq. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, nothing is heavier in the scales of judgment than good akhlaq. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who has good akhlaq will reach the highest level of the one who continuously prays and fasts. Even though he doesn't pray and fast, his akhlaq will cause him to reach to those levels. Brothers and sisters, Islam is not a complicated religion. Islam is not something that is abstract, that is something that is intangible. Islam is super easy. Salvation in Islam, Jannatul Firdaus, is accessible to every one of you without having a PhD in Islamic studies. Worship Allah, believe in Him, love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, expect to meet Allah on the Day of Judgment, and live your lives as ethically, as morally, as kindly, as compassionately as you can. Love for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. Give more and be content to receive less. Be a role model in your manners and your akhlaq. That's all you need. And if you do this, it doesn't matter if you haven't mastered all of the textbooks of Islamic law. It doesn't matter if you don't have a PhD in Islamic studies. If you're a good person and you believe in your Lord and you want to be with your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you live an ethical and moral and upright life, alhamdulillah, you have manifested the entirety of the religion of Islam. I'm not saying this, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. You know what he said? Two words. Memorize this hadith. Ad-deenu al-mu'amala. Authentic hadith. Ad-deenu al-mu'amala. The entirety of your deen is going to be judged by how you treat other people. Ad-deenu al-mu'amala. Treat other people with the kindness and compassion that Allah and His Messenger want you to do. And you are going to live the best life you possibly can. And you will enter the highest places of Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us those akhlaq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the best of manners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that compassion to take on this responsibility and to be reunited with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those al-A'la, jazakumullahu khairan, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إليه.